Welcome to the Global Business Women's Pod, hosted by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. I am Susan Dyson and extremely excited to be your podcast host. In my day job, I am proud to be the CEO, president, and founder of the Chamber. Every Thursday at 6 p.m., we will bring you inspiring stories of women who are leading in the advancement of women and girls. We will take you with us to our premier events. You will meet entrepreneurs, executives, and philanthropists who will empower and inspire you to succeed. So please mark your calendars and join us for the Empowering Global Business Women's Pod, Thursday at 6 p.m. Now I have the pleasure of welcoming a chamber member, Laurel D'Antoni. She will moderate our next conversation. Laurel is a caring community activist who primarily works to bring visibility to the needs of homeless and disaster-affected families. Through her husband's work as an NBA coach, Go Rockets, she has leveraged sports to highlight the work of many organizations whose clients may have fallen through the cracks. She created the Houston Rockets Women's Organization and then networked the group with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. Barbara is really with us today, isn't she? And in 2019, we were honored to induct Laurel into the Greater Houston Women's Hall of Fame. Please welcome Laurel D'Antoni from West Virginia.
Good morning. Good morning, Chamber Women. I'm excited to introduce to you a special woman who is not only an award-winning communicator, but a woman who also understands the particular challenges that many women face in the workforce. The challenges of tone, word choices, assertiveness, pace, just to name a few. The challenges a woman has balancing the work with the needs of her family. She fits it all in and finds the time to run her company, a company which helps us become better communicators. At this time in our lives, this skill has never been more critical to master. Lee Woodruff is a best-selling author, public speaker, journalist, and trusted advisor with 30 years of experience. She founded her own PR company 25 years ago and trains executives with their media and communication skills, helping them to sharpen their message and connect with their audience. Lee uses hands-on approach, employing role-playing with real-time interview and speaking scenarios to help executives improve their delivery. She has worked with clients in a wide range of industries, from technology, financial services, oil and gas, healthcare, to consumer products, fashion, and beauty. She is also the author of 3 best-selling books, multiple articles, and essays. You might have seen Lee as she was a contributing reporter for ABC's Good Morning America and the show CBS This Morning. After her journalist husband, Bob, recovered from roadside bomb injuries while covering the Iraq War for ABC, the Woodruffs founded the Bob Woodruff Foundation, a national nonprofit organization that assists injured service members and their families with the transition back to the home front. The foundation has raised and distributed over $70 million. The foundation is active here in our Houston community and supports veterans affected by Hurricane Harvey and COVID-19 through their collaboration with the Cutter Harvey Fund. Lee is an alumnus of Colgate University and a proud mother of 4. Lee, welcome to Houston. The real question is, how do you even get started down this road?
Well, this was a long road, girlfriend. I'm in my 6th decade, so that didn't just come overnight. And by the way, someone needs to teach people what to do with their face while someone's reading all of these, like, you know, illustrious things about you. So maybe I need to work on that. But hi, Laurel. It's so nice to see you. And I wish I were there in person with you all. It was supposed to be that way. I was supposed to be wearing some pretty Texas dress, and I would have had my hair a little bit better organized because you gals are so together down there. You always are.
I tell you what, you know, I look at all the things that we're doing in this amazing time and listening to all of these amazing speakers with this wonderful event that's going on right now. And one of the things that I see is like all of these things that women are supposed to be handling right now with their work, their children, COVID, whatever. And I know that you say that a lot of big bad things that happen to you can change you. And I know that you've had some specific events in your life, specifically with what happened to Bob. How do you get through that? And how did that change you?
You know, I look at the things in my life. Bob's injury was incredibly public, and that made it more challenging. But I look, and I've had some people say to me, like, you've been through such hard stuff in your life. How can you still be so cheery? And I don't honestly think that I've gone through anything harder on a scale than anybody else goes through in a lifetime. We are all going to get some stuff. And the question at the end of the day is, how do you not let that define you? How do you wake up into every new day and try to make it Doris Day? And we know that, you know, not every day is going to be, and you're allowed to have bad days. They make the good ones feel even better. But I think it's about not giving in to the bad thing and making that be who you see yourself as.
Well, do you see this as like different chapters of your life, you know, between what happened with Bob? And I did read your book, and it was, I mean, I think I've told you before, the thing that impressed me, that knocked me out, is I can't believe that you could handle everything with Bob, but also the situations that you were put in, like when he basically dumped you in China and he was off working and then you were supposed to survive. How do you balance that out as a woman who also works, also has to work with her husband, has to work with the job that you have? What are all these different chapters? How do they meld?
You know, I only see how they led to one another in hindsight, right? 2020 is a great set of glasses to be wearing. I think at the time that we're doing it, we're just doing the best we can do. And every working mother out there, you don't even have to be a mother. Every working woman out there knows that. We just have a lot more hats in our closet that we have to wear and we're called upon to wear. I often love the stories when people tell me that they just sort of walked out of the house in the early days with kids and work and everything and just left it so that their husband can understand exactly how much went on the background. Really just a quick newsworthy thing. I know we want to talk about other things, but I was really dismayed to see an NPR article that talked about 1 in 4 women will be dropping out of the workforce or have already. And part of that is because the enormous balance at home with homeschooling and COVID has overlaid. We all know we do more than 50% of what happens at home, most of us anyway, but that just tipped to 90. And that has tipped most women thinking about weighing if they have the luxury economically of getting out of the workforce for a little bit till this is over. That makes me sad. But we just do so much.
When you look at that, you're saying that with that NPR article that came out is, to a certain extent, I think that you and I have discussed this, is society holding us back? How do we manage that? And, you know, at a certain point, we look at what COVID, you know, with every disaster, you know, we're in a disaster model. That's what I like to do. And I see that we're still in the first phase. So we have really great innovation that comes out, but you're absolutely right. Women, we're still juggling all the things that we have to juggle. And now we don't have the space to juggle our own careers. So how do we go about doing that? And how do we encourage women? And what can we do? How can we help shape society's view of us?
You know, you said it. I think it's really incumbent upon the companies and the employers in every place. And what a better set of employers than this group here today, women who understand issues beyond just, you know, the immediate P&L of something. But when you invest in your employees and you create a corporate environment that sort of says, oh gosh, your kid's only on, you know, 3 days of in-person school, we're going to give you time off to deal with what you need to deal. This won't be forever. And that employee is going to be leaning in 3 times as hard when life gets back to normal. They're going to be so grateful for that. We just need employers to start thinking about a larger, wider picture that's more inclusive.
So when we look at that, you know, I'm listening to when you're talking about employers, and I know you've transitioned, you know, I've seen you on Good Morning America. I've read your books. You know, we used to get together when our children were at school together when I lived in New York. Some of the things that we've discussed are all of these things about how women can improve the way we present ourselves. So, you know, I don't want to go into my employer and say, hey, you know, my child has a fever today and I can't, you know, go to the, you know, dinner with my clients this evening. It's just like, it feels like there's a certain unfairness in that, but maybe I have to work on my presentation. And that brings me to this next career that you're doing. I don't know why I say next, because you've been doing it for 30 years, but I know you've worked with a lot of people, and I'm more curious about working with women and how we differ. You and I had a discussion particularly about the debates that went on, and I sent you an article that was in USA Today that talked about the first presidential debate. These two men were talking, and obviously, you know, the talking over each other, you know, the name calling, if a woman had been there, if I had been standing there, could have I gotten away with the same things? And not that I would have wanted to do that. And then I saw the debate last night and, you know, we get trained a different way. How can that, I want to know, how can you help us? What's going on in the politics right now is actually valid to all of us. How can we be taken seriously? How can we compete with men? We're still not even making enough money as men. Something that we need to do, we need help. How can you help us?
Some of the work I do, my most favorite work is with women, in particular young women, because it really is how you show up in the room. And we are socialized differently. We're socialized to apologize, play tennis, play doubles with a group of women, and watch them apologize when they miss the shot. That was an eye-opening thing for me 22 years ago. And then I'd go play with my husband with a mixed partner, and they would be like, damn it, Dave, when they missed the shot. And I thought, wow, what are we doing wrong? Now, part of what I love is that we are collaborative. We're team-oriented. I'll try to tell this story really quickly because it's a wonderful story to me about the differences. Harvard Business School, first year, 101 class, 50% of the grade was based on participation and 50% was on grades. The women were scoring far lower in the participation. And it was because of what I call our back brains, our subconscious mind. We're taking you in about 10 seconds when we meet you. A lot of it's your body language. A lot of it's your voice, tone, and breath. Women have work to do there. And this much of it is message. Well, what do you want to land? You want the message to be as wide as it can. So when all the other things are in alignment, everything resonates, it hits. So back to this Harvard class, why were the women scoring lower? They looked in and drilled down. It was two things about the women. One, which I actually don't think we should change. When the women gave their answers to the professor, they were collaborative. Well, when Laurel and Jean and I got the answer, when the dudes were raising their hand, when I got the answer. So the professor's thinking, well, Jim is more sure of his answer. He got that by himself. The other thing they were doing is something I call the uptick. And women out there, do it at the bar, scrub it in the boardroom. It's an annoying habit that we have of answering like everything like this. And so every question ends on an uptick, and like our daughters are doing it. And the professor was listening to the women and thinking, they don't sound sure of their answer because of that. In English, is a tonal language. We land our sentences up, we land them straight across, and we land them down. So women, as more as you can use that tonality, use the resonation and pitch. There are lots of Google, YouTube videos where you can learn how to throw your voice louder. I hate to say this, but many women's voices sound annoying to men. They're shrill, they're school marmy, or excuse me, gals, they're phone sexy. Okay, so there is a business voice that one can use. We all have it. We're all actors in some way. And it's not about being a different you. It's finding a different channel in you to resonate and come across. And the last thing is, what's the worst thing someone can say when you ask for the order? When you say, I need 2 days off because my kid has COVID days and I'm not going to be able to manage this. Worst thing they can say is no. I don't think we take enough risk in asking for stuff. Most men do. And they get shot down and they just grow a new shell and go back at it again. We need to be more assertive, not aggressive. Men see us as aggressive. There's a huge difference between assertive and aggressive.
Okay, so you just opened a can of worms because I heard so many things to touch on and I'm gonna get to it. So it sounds like to me that you just said that collaboration appears not to be valued by men, and women, because we're collaborative, they thought the men were more powerful because they were more active when we were more collaborative. So is there a way that maybe we can show that we're collaborative without, and speaking it in men talk? I don't think that women should be men. I think that we have really great skills. If anything, I think men should be more like women. So I don't want to change to be a man. I'm never going to be a man. But I would like to know, if I'm going to walk into the room, how can I dominate the room? Because I tell you what, last night I'm watching the debate and I was watching Twitter, and I can't tell you how heartbroken and demoralized I was at the terminologies that were used to describe the way this woman that was talking, just her tone and her presentation. There was nothing about content. It was all about the way she did. So what are those things? How can we show that, hey, I am in power without coming out with a big, you know, like aggressive or assertive? I think that exactly the same thing, but we get termed aggressive, he gets termed assertive.
We get termed bitch, he gets termed in control. So those are, that's right. So how do we do that? Couple of things. It's how you frame it. Use your words, and words are priceless. There's a huge difference between I think and I believe. So one is conviction, one is, well, I'm not totally sure. Just to touch on your collaboration point, I wouldn't change that for the world in women, but I don't know how these women were framing their answers. This was just an anecdotal thing, but honest to goodness, I think that if you are powerful in the way you select your words when you're presenting it, the three of us worked like a team. We spent 4 months on this project, and I'm going to tell you, we each put 40 hours in a week, and I love the way this team all came together because I think that our answers are going to be indicative of whatever that is. I'm making all this up. But if you come in with a power frame on something, then you've just won the day. And those small words matter. What is the most important thing I can tell anyone to do, woman or man? Pause. We draw down like so much like, well, so like power with these filler words. Take three beats. Don't use the time to sound less intelligent. Pause. It is the most commanding and controlling thing you can do. We talk too fast. Slow down. That's going to take care of some of that anxiety and adrenaline. And it just gives you control back. Because the end of the day, any external communications experience is about having the control.
Well, I want to ask you, when you're talking about control, wait a minute, let me control my voice. So when we're talking about control, I want to know what you mean when you use the term control your breath. What does breath mean? What do you mean by that?
A lot of times when we get nervous, you can hear us breathe, and it just draws the power down. You've heard people in a radio interview and too close to the microphone. Take a deep breath and try to hold it from the bottom of your lungs and be able to use it so that your resonation and all of it. Laurel, I like the way you look there, very commanding. But just drawing in your breath and not taking those short breaths that we hear, it's going to not only lower your voice and slow you down, but it's just going to make you feel more relaxed. Because some of it is we get inside our own heads, don't we? Whether we're asking for a raise or we want to find out why we weren't included on that team, we get nervous. And breath is your secret superpower on calming everything and sounding more in control.
You know, I try to do that, and I look at the speaking engagements that I do or the presentations that I make, and I realize that sometimes I want to be too colloquial and too, I'm an informal person. I'm a hugger, and I want everybody to feel really comfortable. It's the way I was raised. But sometimes not being that way and being more commanding and recognizing, I guess, changing your personality, but understanding that there's certain roles that a person plays in certain environments. And I need to be able to transition that better. And part of it, I like what you said about your breath, but then I've realized what you also said, and I want to ask you, what do you mean about tone? What does tone mean?
So tone is two things. It's the tonality that we talked about with the variety in your voice, like I'm doing now. So if I'm using different tones, I just sound more interesting. I sound more interested. But I want to go back to what you just said, because the last thing any coach, communications coach, wants to do is change who you are. So you just said it. There are different speeds on a car. And I always start out by level setting. So if I were with you gals right now and Laurel and I were doing this in person, I would probably make a big joke like I do every time I come to Texas about what a loser I feel like in the fashion department. Every time I've been to your beautiful state, I am always the worst dressed one in the room, and I have to own it. And that moment where we level set the hi, I'm speaker, I'm up here, your audience, the moment we go like this with the podium and you realize she's just a real girl, that folksy moment, as you call it, that human moment is the most important thing you can do. You do it right before you go into the interview. You do it before the Zoom meeting starts with a little bit of chat and get to know you. And that just takes butterflies away, but there is no reason then you don't put your big girl hat on as you shift into second gear and say, now I'm Laurel and I want to talk about this charity because this is the greatest thing happening in Houston. And now that's a different Laurel, but don't lose that part of you that makes you authentic. No one ever wants to change that.
What do you think that women, if when you're coaching the differences between men and women, what are some of the things that you could tell the women, hey, you know, if you could, all of us, regardless of what anyone who's on this talk, anyone could do and work by themselves on, you know, I want to say for me, it's like, maybe don't use the word like, well, it's like, it's a garbage word. you know, be more deliberate with the words I use. And then maybe it is slow down, but what are the things that anybody, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a student, whether you're a high powered executive, I know a lot of the women that are on this call. And let me tell you what, this is the most amazing group of strong, resilient women. We're watching hurricanes come in all the time. We're trying to get people back in their homes. We're trying to raise money. We're trying to run our companies. We're trying to keep our employees employed. We're trying to live in this time where we know that our families need to be safe, but we don't get all the information. The information is conflicting. How do we exude, we as women need to exude the power that I know that we all have intrinsically, we do. We're the only ones that can give birth to life. So that gives us an amazing amount of power. What are one or two or three little things that if, I mean, I feel, go ahead and shred me. Go ahead and tell me like, hey, Laurel, you know what? I see in you, you could do better. I mean, I take criticism great. If there's anything that you could let us know.
There is no way in heck I am actually going to criticize you or shred you right now. You're one of the best people I know. But let me try to do an hour presentation in the last minute or two that we have. The very first thing is to remind yourself, you are the speaker, you are the person being interviewed, you have control. If there's one thing you need to put in your brains, you're the person who's the subject matter expert. So you're in control. Number two, frame it, practice, prep. We don't ever do enough of that. Build 15 minutes into your calendar before this and think about these things. Where is the you in the audience? It looks like our time is up. Where, what is in it for them? If you don't talk about them, if I'm not saying something right now that includes you in the audience, you're going to be looking at your phone. And then go in with two or three points you want to make and figure out how to make them.
I think that something that I've noticed with women is that we need to mentor each other a little bit better. And that's something that I see in the business world. I've had the luxury of having some amazing and powerful women leaders that have mentored me and helped me with networking connections. And I'm guessing with the type of media training you do a lot of networking. How would you encourage women, because it's all about communicating how to ask for help and how to ask. Would you ask other women? Is that important? Or do you think we should ask men when you're looking at mentorship?
I think the more people you can have on your personal board of directors is the better. And people love to be asked. It's like a blind date. You could go on a date. And if you ask the man a million questions about himself, he thinks it's the best date in the world. And the last thing I'll say, because I love that this has been run on time like a Swiss train. So kudos to you ladies in Houston. You know how to run a meeting. So the last thing, yeah, she's ready for us. The last thing that I'll say about that is that just stay in touch with people in your network without any ask at all. Don't be asking them to do something. Touch base every now and then. Just tell them what you're up to. And that way, every time they don't see an email from you, they're thinking, oh God, who does she want me to connect her with now? Just be a good friend and just a short and sweet. Everybody, don't you love those emails out of the blue where someone was just thinking about you? That's a great way to network.
Well, I really appreciate the time that you've been giving us here. And I know that you and I also talked about one last thing. You're always giving me inspiration. We used to go find that little tiny bistro in Mamaroneck in New York. It was next to a cemetery. And for whatever reason, it was extremely peaceful and just talk about our lives. And I know that you have a version of your serenity prayer. Would you like to share?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Do we really have time? I see our gorgeous moderator.
Well, I think we have about 5 more minutes.
This is really fast.
Okay.
The last thing I'll say. So ladies, we're all in an anxious time. We're living in an anxious time. We're wearing masks. This is horrible. So when you're waking up at 3:30 in the morning, whether it's menopause, thank you, or just waking up because you've got so many things on your shoulders, ask yourself this question. And I realize that not everybody can answer this with a yes. And those are why we're all here too. But it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it really works for me. Do you have a roof over your head? Well, I do, and I'm so grateful for that, and I hope most of you do as well. Do you have enough to eat? Yes. Do you have people that love you? Yes, I do. Do you have people you love? Yes, I do. Have you always been able to figure out how to get all of these things? One way or another, have you been able to pull it together? Well, if you're a woman, of course you have, because you're phenomenal. So if you can answer yes to all of these questions, then roll over, go back to sleep, because it always looks better in the morning. And I'm telling you, on your worst day, it works. And yeah. I love you all. Laurel, thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
The Greater Houston Women Chamber of Commerce. I hope to be there in person someday.
Lee, we would love that. Thank you so much, Lee and Laurel. It is inspiring and fabulous advice.
Thank you for watching the Global Business Women's Pod, brought to you by the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. We cannot wait to see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. And remember, you can always find us at ghwcc.org.